Greetings, everyone. Welcome to the Delta Flyers Journey Through the Wormhole with Quark, Dax, and their good friends, Tom and Harry. Join us as we make our way through episodes of Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Your hosts for today are my fellow Trek actors, Terry Farrell, Robert Duncan McNeil, and myself, Garrett Wong.
For the complete and exciting version of this podcast, check out patreon.com/ The Delta Flyers and sign up to become a patron today. Hey guys.
Hey.
Hi. Woo. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good. I just got off the treadmill. I'm so proud of you. You know.
Yeah. Where did you go today?
Costa Rica. I ran in Costa Rica.
On your treadmill, that is.
I wish my house was big enough to have one of those.
I love it. It's got this screen, and I have my favorite coach. Tommy Rives is his name, and I love him.
Tommy Ribs?
Rives? I think he's got a longer last name.
With a B?
But he calls he refers to himself as Rives.
Oh, V as in Victor, not B as in boy. Okay, Rives. Tommy Rives. Okay, Rives.
Yeah, that's a gangster. That's a mafia guy. Tommy Rives.
Tommy Rives.
He's got all of this like coaching, and it's like life-inspiring. It's not just the run on the treadmill. It's like, you know, metaphors about life and
life lessons like we give on this podcast.
Yeah, he's great. Goodness. I love him.
Wow.
I used to have the best spinning coach. I can't remember his name now, but he was at Equinox in
Los Angeles.
That Marina Del Rey area.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And he too was like super inspirational and you know, really made you feel like you could do anything. And I think that is the most important part of a coach, inspiring you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Coaches and trainers, there's some that are amazing and those are the ones that you gravitate towards. And so you guys have had some good ones.
Yeah, for sure. I'd like them back again.
Yes. Speaking of inspiring moments, we're going to have some birthdays right now.
Yes.
Inspire some people to celebrate great birthdays.
Yes. Yeah. It's Sagittarius time, which is my sign. This is my birthday month as well. First of all, we have Sandra Stengel on December 4th. So happy birthday to Sandra. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Sandra.
Happy birthday, Sandra.
And we have Maria Roselle, December 6th. Happy birthday, Maria.
Happy birthday, Maria.
Happy birthday, Maria.
Need parts now? O'ReillyAuto.com offers in-store pickup, same-day home delivery, or next-day home shipping. Get more parts your way at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Let's jump into our poetry synopsis for this episode.
Yes. I love this art creative part of our show.
Yes.
When we get kind of literary and intellectual and all of that. I feel like I should have a glass of wine as I read this poem.
Okay. Let's imagine you're holding a glass of wine.
Okay, here we go.
You should have like a smoking jacket and a pipe as well while you're doing this.
I like that. Yes. Big fireplace.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Now that you have this image in your mind, our dear listeners and viewers, Robbie will now begin his limerick for equilibrium.
Dax is acting a bit bizarre. It's the grumpiest we've seen her by far. They go back to Trill, use some investigative skill, and learn everything inside you makes you who you truly are.
Very nice.
Very nice.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Wow.
With that fireplace behind you crackling and everything.
Thank you.
Yes, I like it.
Do you need a glass of wine?
I have a very nice Pinot Noir.
Oh, nice. Great choice.
I'm going there. Thank you. Very big glass. But I, too, am in front of a fireplace, which I like very much. Big, cozy chair. My feet are on the hearth. Yes.
Nice.
Okay. To loathe part of you obscures your whole view. Keep all of you warm in winter, stops the self from splinter. All of you needs love, accept yourself as hand in glove.
Oh, nice.
Was that okay?
Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
All right. Haiku time. Do you want a glass of wine?
Garrett?
I'm going to have a glass of dessert wine, a little something sweet, actually.
Oh, nice.
And instead of a smoking jacket, I'm wearing like a turtleneck sweater, like a really poofy, comfy
Oh,
turtleneck sweater.
nice.
And I'm also lounging in front of my fireplace. And you hear the crackling. I'm drinking my dessert wine. And here is my haiku for equilibrium. Dax keeps hearing tunes. Hallucinations won't stop. Duran acknowledged.
Wow, very
Thank you.
nice.
Thank you.
Yeah, the turtleneck was the right choice for that one.
Yes, I do agree. Thank you so
Yeah.
much. All right, shall we talk about guest stars right now?
Please
Yeah.
do.
Okay.
Please do.
Lisa Baines as Dr.
Yes.
Renhall,
Yes.
a Juilliard person, just like you, Robbie.
That's
So,
funny. I think I heard that
yeah.
name around
She
the
went to
schoolyard.
Juilliard.
Yeah,
Yes.
Lisa Baines. She was great.
Right. She was born in 1955. So obviously ahead of you, and
Yeah.
she was there earlier. So next up, we have Jeff Magnus McBride as
Yeah.
Joran Balar. Now,
Wonderful
okay.
magician.
Yes.
Wonderful
What?
magician.
Yes. He's not an
Yes.
actor, Robbie.
Oh, how funny.
He's a magician. And he hosted myself and Sadeg going to the Magic Castle. I brought my stepsister and her new husband
Oh,
way
I
back
love
when.
that.
Yeah, that was the first time he made sure we got in. He
Yeah,
just
you.
showed up to get us in and then
Yeah.
he left. I
Right.
haven't seen him since, but Bonnie Gordon, as we know and love, she hosted myself, John Billingsley, and a couple other people, and it was so much fun. I love magic.
I love the Magic Castle. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Michael and Marion Westmore told me they used to be members there.
Really? Yeah.
Yes, I didn't even know you could be a
Wow.
member
You
if
can
you
be a
weren't a
member.
magician. I
Yes.
would have done that in a heartbeat when I
Yeah.
lived in LA, but I didn't know that.
I know.
Yeah. I think Bob is a member.
I think he
Is
is.
he?
Yeah.
Of
Because
course he
he
is.
got me in. He got me in when I went there the first time. But Jeff is not from Los Angeles. Jeff lives in Las Vegas. So he started the
Oh.
McBride School of Magic in Las Vegas, but it was Michael Piller that saw his show. The origins of this episode are to be found in the magic show of Jeff Magnus McBride, who portrays Duran Balar. Michael Piller saw McBride's show, loved it, and commissioned Christopher Teague, a mutual friend of his and McBride, to draw up an outline for a story based on McBride's act. McBride's show revolved around the use of masks and the repeated removal of what is seemingly a single mask, only to reveal another underneath, which is exactly what happens in the episode itself.
Yeah.
Yes, and I remember when I first watched that scene, I thought, God, this guy's like a magician. And I did the research. I go, he is a magician. So all the person that was in the mask the entire time was Jeff, I'm assuming, right? It had to have been him the entire time, doing
Yes.
his mask stuff. Teague's story originally involved a kind of intergalactic circus coming to Deep Space Nine with a magician who was revealed to be a murderer. But nobody on the writing staff was keen on the idea. And maybe, that's also the fault of Piller saying, hey, let's just grab Christopher Teague, someone who's
Yeah.
a mutual friend, and let's have him do the outline. Well, when he came up with that idea, the writing staff said, Renee Echevarria then modified it to focus on Odo and a series of disturbing dreams that Odo was having before Ron Moore suggested switching the emphasis of the plot to Dax.
Can I just say how much I love Ron Moore right now?
Yes,
good old Ron Moore, because he felt that the masks were a good metaphor for the Trill species in general. So I thought that was
Deep
very.
thinker.
Oh, come on, Ron Moore
The
is literally a
best.
rock star when it comes
Oh my
to
gosh,
writing.
he totally is. I almost cried when I saw him in Vegas.
But the bottom line is, this is so random, Robbie.
Yeah.
It's so random. He saw the magician, said, "Hey, we got to do an episode of DS9 about this," and our mutual friend will write the outline. Of course, the story morphed and everything, but
Yeah.
still, they cast him. They
Yeah.
cast
That's
this
awesome.
magician as the guest star. Who
It's
does that?
awesome.
He was really great, and he was great to work with.
Good.
Yeah,
Good.
super
Aww.
professional, very kind, obviously very generous, taking myself and Sid to the castle. Just really nice person.
Yeah.
And Bonnie Gordon speaks very highly of him as well because she
Yeah.
works there. She's been working there for 11 years.
And he still does magic there.
I think he does.
I'm assuming
he wasn't the night that I was there, but yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Well, he did do Caesar's Palace used to have this whole magicians thing that they had going on where back in the 90s when I was frequenting Vegas quite a bit, there was a lot of magicians there at Caesar's Palace doing this. And he was one of the guys there too.
So, oh, wow.
Cool. Next up, we have Nicholas Casconi as Timur. That is the guardian who is tending to the symbionts. Now, Nicholas, that guest star, also played Ensign Davies in the TNG episode Pen Pals. So he's already been on Trek before. And of course, last but not least, we have Harvey Vernon as Yolad Balar, the brother, the older gentleman that on the view screen.
On basically. The screen.
Yeah, the older brother, or maybe he's the younger brother. Who knows at this point, right? So the brother of Jaran Balar. This is the first time we hear that Trills have a surname, like, you know, a last name, Balar, right? Jaran Balar, Yolad Balar. And we don't really, because we hear Curzon Dax. We don't know Curzon's name. We don't
original
know Jadzia's.
Yeah,
did we don't
know
Jadzia's family name.
Nope, we don't know your
name. Isn't that weird? And I never thought we went to Trill. I didn't remember that.
Right. This is also the first time showing the Trill homeworld on DS9. Another thing with the last name, strangely enough, they do mention Ezri's last name when Ezri does come on season 7. Nicole's character has a surname. Yeah, but nothing for Jadzia and nothing for Curzon. We never hear about that.
Wow. Yeah.
The teleplay is by Renee Echevarria and story by Christopher Teague, the mutual friend of the magician and Michael Piller. Yes. And directed by none other than Cliff Bohl.
Love Cliff.
Love Cliff. Yes.
Teddy Bear Man.
Why don't we jump into the episode itself? We're in Sisko's quarters right now. And guess what? He's preparing a home cooked meal.
This is very, very rare. I love this.
Isn't this sweet?
The gang is there. Kira is there. Jake is there. Odo's there. And, you know, Odo's even
whisking.
Helping. Yes.
Yeah. He's Sisko's whisking something.
But he hands it to Odo because he's got to flip something. And Odo, instead of whisking, he moves the bowl. Keeps the whisker in one place. It's so
amazing.
Darn funny.
Yeah.
And it's so... You know, it makes sense because let's face it, Odo doesn't eat. He's never cooked before. He doesn't know what a whisk is, but clearly he's into helping out Sisko. Sisko talks about he knows all this stuff because his dad had a restaurant, right? And we also learn for the very first time that he's from New Orleans. We don't have any information geographically until this episode. He's from New Orleans. But Robbie, when he flipped that one piece of fish or meat, it wasn't flipped like a pro. It was kind of like
His dad was the pro.
Yeah, his dad was the pro.
Fine.
I would buy that.
Okay, fine.
Here's what I want to point out. Yeah. So Rene Auberjonois is doing this very funny bit with the whisk is held still and he's moving the bowl around underneath. Yeah. So I went back to the script to see, did they write that? And here's what it says.
Yeah.
Odo says, just because I don't need food, Commander, doesn't mean I'm not interested in its preparation. I'm fascinated by the humanoid preoccupation with eating. Yeah. Sisko realizes he needs to turn the fish. Odo offers to take the stirring of the souffle over the stirring of the souffle.
Right.
Odo says, may I? Sisko, by all means. He hands him the bowl. Odo takes the whisk in hand and begins whipping tentatively. That's all it says.
So it was Renee came up with a bit.
Of course.
A funny, funny bit. And it was Renee.
Of course. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
It was the best. From this scene, we also learned that Bashir is not a fan of beets for some reason. We don't know why.
he's terrified of them. Yes.
Oh, my word.
It's beyond me. I don't know why beets are such a, you know, get such a bad rap, but.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't like them. I like beets.
Really? Yeah, I think beets are great. Dax does come in a little bit later, and she's had a long day in those upper pylons trying to get some new sensor relay online. But she notices something on the side there, and it looks like a futuristic keyboard, electronic.
It's a Casio keyboard.
It's a Casio keyboard.
Like those old Casio keyboards.
Is what it is. Yeah.
Mixed with a Simon game or something. It's kind of, you know, it's rounded off. It's not rectangular. Yeah. And she's like, oh my goodness. And turns out it belongs to Jake. And Jake took lessons, but never really progress that far with it. So he doesn't mind that Dax starts tinkering with it. But guess what? Dax ends up playing something that actually sounds quite professional.
Which is weird because she says none of my hosts had any musical talent. When Jake says, I don't have any musical talent, she's like, yeah, me neither. None of my hosts did. But then she starts playing.
But she's drawn to it.
She's totally drawn to it.
Yeah.
To the point where she snaps. She snaps at Bashir. Bashir starts to say something. She's like, quiet, like that. He's like, oh, I'm leaving.
Yeah.
He walks away.
Pretty weird.
Yeah. But that's the beginning of the weird behavior for Dax. Now we know something's up because she never snaps at anybody. Usually Dax cares about someone's feelings, and Dax has had lifetime after lifetime of experience. Yeah. So Dax is the most calm. So to see Dax be so flippantly kind of almost dismissive, of Bashir was a little shocking. So now we know something's up. And all of a sudden she's playing this tune and something is drawing her to this tune. And she keeps playing it. And that's our intro for the episode before we go to credits.
Doesn't Cisco say dinner's ready and everybody goes to dinner, but she's like in this zone. She's just playing this song.
Yeah, it's taken over.
She's obsessed with it.
Yeah.
I also have to say, when you started playing, I went in my mind, I'm like, oh no. Because whenever they do music on Star Trek, it's so bad. Like the Klingon song, I hate the Klingon song. On our show. Like it's just, it just feels like they're trying to do amateurish tunes when they compose it. I don't know. But your song was good. I was expecting a bad little riff and it was like, oh, that's kind of pretty.
It was a pretty melody.
Can I read you guys something to deal with the music here?
Get
a little more context. Jay Chataway composed the music for this episode, which was his favorite installment of the first three seasons of DS9. He commented, it was the show where it was revealed that one of Dax's former hosts was a composer. The music had to have a thematic quality for her to play it on a keyboard and hum several times. I was also able to develop this theme into the score for her nightmarish flashbacks. The time factor on that was, here's the show. We need a keyboard thing. We need it tomorrow. Under those circumstances.
That sounds like them.
I'll do several versions, though in the case of Equilibrium, they chose my first version. I thought that was an extremely well-written show and a great opportunity to have music as an integral part of the story. It didn't hurt that I personally worked with Terry Farrell, helping her to learn that tune. It took her only three attempts to get it under control. She's very bright. I was really impressed. So that's what Jay Chataway said about you.
Thank you, Jay Chataway. Wow.
Yeah.
That's so nice.
But they gave him a assignment that was due 24 hours later. And also the writers, they were still writing 3 to 4 days into this episode. They were still churning out scenes. Three to four days into filming, Robbie.
Wow.
These are the most behind they were up till this point, it seems. That's insane.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, it's not fun.
No.
No, that's hard on the writers.
Yeah, and then for you to get changes, like literally in the makeup trailer probably, you're like,
So. Well, it's not so bad when it's not techno babble.
Right.
So believe me, the writers were way more stressed probably.
Than you were.
The producers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. I mean, I was excited it was about my character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, finding out more about any actor is excited to find out more about who they're playing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But to your point, Robbie, the tune was not amateurish.
It was not bad.
It sounded great.
And he did it fast.
You know what? And that's like what Michael Westmore had to deal with all the time, too.
All the time.
Last minute stuff, too.
Tonight, you've got to make up a new alien. Yeah. And tomorrow,
tonight, at four in the morning,
you better wake up and be driving from Encino all the way to Hollywood. With a new creation on your mind.
Yeah.
Robbie, it's not that last minute now, right? I mean, this day and age of 10 episodes, it's not that last minute.
No.
Any longer. Okay.
No. But there's always something that's last minute or something that you got to figure out on the day. But, but usually the
something
makeup.
Something doesn't show up. Oh, it didn't get delivered. Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone gets sick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All kinds of stuff.
We're in the commander's office now, and there's a game of chess going on. I love chess, by the way. So it's so nice to see Sisko and Dax playing. But guess what? Dax is humming the same tune that she played in the on the little Casio keyboard in the prior scene. It's still in her mind to the point where even Sisko says, "Do you mind?"
Yeah, I love how he whispers that too. He's like, he's so annoyed. He is. I love Dave Reese's performance here. He's like trying to sit on it. He's like, "Do you mind?
Do you mind?"
Yeah.
She says, "I didn't even realize I was doing it." Goes back to the game. She starts humming again.
Yeah. She just,
I can't help myself.
She keeps humming. She keeps humming. She's so distracted that she doesn't even realize that she's in check at this point.
Yeah. I love that when he says, "Are you sure?
Yeah. Are you sure you want to make that move?" Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Because it's so out of character for her too. This is also just a little reminder. The first time we played chess, it was because I asked Michael Piller if we could, and they had the Star Trek chess set.
The multi-layered one?
Yeah. Yes. And so we're playing this on the 20th century chessboard, right? Or whatever the original.
So did they say, did they tell you they were going to use the multi-layered one originally, and then they went to the standard, what were you
used to? No, there was a scene, and I don't remember what episode, but I think it was in the first season where we played, but when I asked if we could play, they had us play on the futuristic.
Ah, the multi
The next generation one. Yeah, the multi-layered one. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember if there was a conversation, just that. I remember in my conversation with Michael Piller saying, "Well, why wouldn't we play on the old version, since I've been alive for 350 years?"
Yeah.
Right? That's a good reason why we would play on the chess set we know and love. Growing up.
I love that.
So,
you actually influenced the episode in getting that
it's
like, old school.
It's
set
like
there.
The only thing that stands out to me that I requested as a for my character. Right. They got put in.
Right.
That's so awesome. That was like, of course, feeling very proud of it.
Yeah.
So thank you, Michael Piller. Thank you, Michael Piller.
Yeah. Thank you, Michael Piller. It's interesting because in this scene, Dax doesn't understand where the knight came from. And that's the move, that the check move that happened. And Dax then accuses Sisko of actually making an illegal move and cheating. And bringing up this fact that Curzon always suspected you were a cheat. So again, just... not the typical behavior you're used to.
It's not my nature. No,
you knock over the chessboard.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Throw all the pieces off, storming out. Whoa.
Very scary. Not normal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was waiting for you to actually throw the pieces at Sisko. I'm like, thank God you didn't hit him in the head with that, just taking that knight and just, but you didn't do that. But still, very not what we're used to seeing from Dax.
Yeah.
Well, even in the next scene, we're in the Replimat. She's sitting there, Dax sitting by herself. Kira comes over to try to check on you. She's just being really super nice. And Dax is such a meanie in this scene.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
To Kira.
I am.
Yeah. You think Dax thinks she's taking Sisko's side and says, you know, tells her to leave. And she doesn't want to leave. She wants to see what's going on. She really cares about you. Mm-hmm. And Kira stops you. You're like, okay, if you're not going to leave, I'll leave. You get up. Kira stops you. She kind of grabs you by the shoulders or the arm or something.
Arms.
Very testy moment.
I would say, though, if somebody's in a angry space, maybe
don't touch them.
Don't touch them. Yeah.
Yeah.
And definitely do not grab them.
Yeah. Yeah. True.
Well, you tell her right off the bat, get your hands off me before I do something I'll regret. And then when she does, you say, well, that's the first smart thing you've done since you've walked over here. And I love this scene just because we're so used to one version of Dax, and to see Terry be ultimately that mean and that cold is kind of cool, because you pulled it off well. You scared
the
crap out of me. You really did. I was watching
deeply
that scene
angry in that scene.
Yes.
I liked seeing that like surprising side of Dax.
Yeah.
And in fact, not to spoiler alert anything that we'll talk about later, but I wish there was more of it. Like, pretty soon there's not much anger coming out anymore. Like, they kind of front load all this anger and then it sort of goes away, which I think is a shame. And I'll talk about, like, in our missing scene bonus material.
Okay.
My thoughts about that. But I love seeing this, is my point.
Yeah, I did too.
We go to the promenade. Dax is walking along. It's a busy promenade, people everywhere, but then she kind of rounds a corner and suddenly nobody's there.
Yeah, empty.
And the music starts, and then she sees a masked figure up on the balcony, I think.
Yeah.
And she looks around, then looks back up, and it's magically gone. Ah, the magician. I see. I see.
That's how good he is.
He's so good.
He's so good.
Yeah. He's not there. And then she turns around the other way. He's right in front of her. Magic
Does he
moves.
do a thing there, or is that
Yeah,
later?
he does it in this scene.
In
He
this
does the
scene.
mask. He
Okay.
pulls one off, and there's another
Yeah,
one
there's another
underneath.
one.
And then yeah, the weird mask guy is basically everywhere. She's starting to freak out. And then she turns around and suddenly Quark bumps into her, and there's people everywhere. It's like a hallucination of some kind with this mask guy. Yeah. And I thought, because she had been so mad before with everybody, I thought, oh, Quark is gonna, she's gonna like punch him or something. But you didn't seem to get, you were so thrown by the hallucination, I think.
I mean, I imagine she just didn't. I say I imagine I did it. That anger when you don't know when you're feeling out of sorts and you don't know what it is that's making you feel that way, I can understand why she has this anger bubbling up inside of her because she doesn't even know how to explain how she's feeling. And that episode just then of seeing having the hallucination with the magician has, I would imagine the fear or the anger gets more recognized as fear. Now she's afraid. Like this is now this is deeply scary. Whatever something is makes you angry and you're frustrated, it's covering up usually some kind of fear. But in real life, if someone's like maybe been disrespectful to you, or that's how you're perceiving it, it makes you angry. But underneath it, it's that not fear of not being respected. You know what I mean? So there's fear underneath the anger, or sadness underneath anger. It's
I think
generally
that,
there's something vulnerable that you don't want to look at or deal with, and you cover it with anger until you understand it.
I think that the word you use underneath it is so perfect for this episode because there's so much going on underneath the Dax that we know. There's these old hosts that are starting to struggle. She doesn't know what's going on underneath.
When you kind of get shaken out of it by Quark, and of all the times we've seen Quark being physically accosted, I really did think you were going to throw him across the
I know, that's
promenade.
what I mean.
I
Not
thought
again with Quark.
you were going
Quark's
to
going to be like
literally
thrown.
punt him like an NFL punter. You're just going to kick him and just he'd fly across the
I was
promenade.
so glad you didn't.
Thank goodness he doesn't hurt Quark.
I honestly think that Quark, though, is a safe person for her.
That's true, because she's the only one that understands Ferengi. So maybe that is the one group of aliens that she's comfortable with, right?
And she likes him because she's always winning at that game. She's making a lot of money in there.
That's she makes
So
money
I
off
would
and they're
love Quark if,
friends. And they're
they're
friends.
friends. They gamble together. They play.
That's right.
I mean, I'm sure her inner Curzon adores Quark.
Terry, did I tell you that I have officially jumped to Team Quark from Bashir? Did I let you know?
No, you did not.
He
I've
told
gone.
this to he told Armin this in the last episode we worked on too.
This is huge.
Because
It
that
is
episode
big.
was it was such a great character development episode for the House of
House
Quark
of
is the episode we're talking
Quark.
about. So yeah, where the clay he basically shows a very valiant and courageous side of him. So he's a hero.
Yeah,
So
he's amazing.
Quark. Team
Yeah.
Quark all the
Team
way.
Quark. Okay, well, I look forward to you evolving to Team Dax. That will happen
Yes,
probably somewhere
exactly.
in the sixth
It'll.
season.
I'm very fickle. I jump around to everybody.
No, you didn't jump quick.
I've got time. I've
Yeah,
got
you
time
got
to get to
time.
Team Dax.
So season 5, look forward to that, Rob. You'll probably flip then. It's usually 2 seasons he flips to somebody else. So there it is.
We go to the infirmary next. Bashir scanning Dax, and then he leaves. Dax is there with Sisko. She apologizes to Sisko. She just doesn't understand where this anger is coming from. And she does say when she saw this masked figure, it seemed familiar, but she doesn't know why. Kind of like the music, you know, she's having these things underneath that she's just not able to put together.
Sisko asks Dax, have you ever had any of these type of hallucinations before? And then have any of your hosts have these had these hallucinations as well. So he was trying to dig into that. And Bashir goes, well, according to your file, the only major trauma the Dax symbiont has ever suffered was when Torius Dax was injured in a shuttle accident.
Torius.
Torius Dax was injured in a shuttle accident. Yeah. So Torius was the host right before Curzon.
He was the test pilot.
Okay.
That's why you pilot so good.
Yeah.
That explains why you pilot so good. It doesn't explain why Bashir pilots so good.
No, we have to have a conversation with him about that.
Yes. Everybody. Pilot licenses for everybody.
But he was in a shuttle accident, right? Mm-hmm, so maybe he wasn't that great of a pilot if he was in an accident.
Well, he was a test pilot.
Oh, he's a test pilot. Okay.
Which is different.
But this shuttle accident, because Torius was the test shuttle pilot, put him in a coma for just around 6 months or so. And because
that's
time. It's a long time, but that's basically when he passed. The doctors couldn't keep up his
isoboramine. He does say if it gets below 40%, that they're going to have to remove the symbiont and the host would die.
Yes. What happened to Torius, right? Yeah. So it was removed and then placed.
And it doesn't matter how many times we say isoboramine. We're still not going to know what it is.
No. But it has something to do with the integration of the symbiont and the host. It's a chemical or a
that keeps
hormone
them stable.
A neurotransmitter that mediates the synaptic functions, right, between the host and the symbiont.
Star Trek term.
It does. Yes. But isoboramine sounds like an ingredient in a new type of laundry detergent.
Doesn't it?
Yeah. It has new isoboramine in it, so it will get your clothes cleaner.
Yeah.
We'd all buy it.
Doesn't Bashir say her levels are now around 70% or something?
So she's
not in a good spot either.
No, mm-mm. No. She's got if she's at 70, she's got 30% to go before they got to remove her.
Yeah, she's halfway to the removal level. Bashir does say in this scene, her levels are around 70%. Yeah. And he thinks they need to take her to the Trill homeworld and have the Trill doctors look at her. And Sisko says, well, Curzon always wanted to show him the Trill homeworld, so now he's going to get a chance.
Yeah.
So it looks like they've got a good solution. Mm-hmm. They're going to fix her right up back on the old homeworld. This is the first time we've seen the Trill homeworld, too, by the
way,
right?
Yes.
Yeah. It's so brief and inside buildings that I didn't even remember that we went there.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't like we turned it into a vacation, which is weird. Because, you know, if you fly all the way to another planet, you'd think, maybe you should stay for a minute and check it out.
Check it out. Go explore a little. No.
Yeah.
Dax is dying. They got to stay in the hospital.
The exterior shots of the Trill homeworld were filmed at the Huntington Gardens in Pasadena. So there you go.
I did notice when Sisko says, oh, Curzon always wanted to take me there. I'm excited. Let's go. Then we cut outside of DS9 and the Defiant comes out and turns and heads off to warp or something. And I was like, let's take the warship for this medical journey.
I'm sorry.
We're flying in luxury.
Yeah, but it just doesn't make sense, though.
Does it?
They should take a runabout.
Runabout, exactly.
No, but you know what? It's his new sports car, right?
Yeah.
It is. So Sisko wants to take it out. Yeah,
it goes faster.
They
need to get there fast.
New.
Yeah.
It is.
And we have to use it because it's new for season 3.
It looks cool. Yeah.
It looks cool.
It just looked like it was overkill.
They wanted you to see it.
Yeah.
Yes, they did. But logically speaking, it makes no sense because we are now worried about a Jem'Hadar threat from the Founders.
And they've taken
the one ship and
the captain.
Yes.
They've taken the captain, the doctor.
That's how important Dax is.
But maybe we can go faster in the Defiant.
Yes.
And he's worried about my health.
I'll buy that.
Yeah.
It's worth the risk of leaving DS9 vulnerable. Because of the speed, right?
Sisko has a soft spot for me, so
Sisko does.
I take precedence over the Jem'Hadar right now.
If the entire station gets overtaken, it's fine. As long as we save Dax.
As long as we save Dax, and he could drop me off and be back in a flash.
He could.
Yeah.
He could.
Yeah.
You're right. All right.
Yeah. All right. Well, we go on the bridge. There's Sisko in the captain's chair. Love this. I love this new Defiant. He's very worried about Jadzia. Bashir comes over. They're both worried. Basically, it's just a little, traveling moment of them just saying, we have to make sure she's okay. They're both worried about her. And we get to see the Defiant Bridge.
Also, Robbie, there's a bit of a remodel from when we first see the Defiant interior of the bridge. Yeah, they added some things, moved things around. So this is the new interior for the Defiant from the last time. Last and the first time they introduced it, they show this the interior. It's now different a little bit. So
it's Miles O'Brien. I'm sure he was.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they had to clean up after that last attack.
Yeah, it was a mess after that battle.
That's true.
True.
Next thing, though, I got to say, well, I don't remember doing most of this, so it was really fun to watch it. Yeah. But when I then go to Dr. Bashir's cabin in the middle of the night because I can't sleep.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I'm nervous.
It's a cute
and
scene.
Isn't it sweet?
It is very cute.
And then he says I can sleep there and with him in his room. But what was so sweet, he was like, you can have the top or the bottom bunk. Like he thought that was a really sweet thing to do. And she's like, oh, no.
Yeah. He said, you can have the top bunk.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, I'm, she says Curzon fell out of a tree one time.
Yeah.
So I can't sleep up top. Can I have the bottom? And then the cutest thing when he says, he's trying to talk to you, good night. Hope you sleep well or something. And you don't answer, and he looks down, and you're out.
You're asleep.
Passed out.
Yeah.
I feel safe with him.
I almost felt like this is a turning point for these two. Like, now he's such a good friend that maybe Jadzia will see him in a romantic light because of how, gentlemanly he is, how sweet he is.
Relinquish
the top bunk, I mean, the bottom bunk to you. It just seems like, hey.
And he's really matured over the last
two years. He's not that, cocky sort of
awkward,
privileged, awkward guy, whatever.
Yeah.
He's changed.
Skirt chasing.
Yes. Yeah. So maybe these are the building blocks of a cool Dax doctor relationship. Spark something uncommon this holiday with just the right gift from Uncommon Goods. If you haven't finished your holiday shopping yet, don't panic. We've got a secret source for incredible original gifts, and that's Uncommon Goods. They've got unique, hand-picked gifts for everyone on your list.
Skip the gifts that scream last minute and find something truly original at uncommongoods.com. You know, last Christmas, I got my sons and their partners gifts from Uncommon Goods. I got my youngest son and his girlfriend a pasta-making kit so they can make pasta from scratch together. And I got my other son and his wife an herb garden so they could grow their own herbs at home. Both gifts were big hits.
When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small independent businesses. Many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches, so shop now before they sell out.
Uncommon Goods looks for products that are high quality, unique, and often handmade.
Looking for a gift you don't have to worry about getting lost in the mail? Check out Uncommon Experiences. Uncommon Experiences are more than virtual classes. They're unexpected opportunities to have fun and connect in new ways. From tarot card reading, lunar astrology charting, cooking and mixology classes, crafts, gardening, and much more.
And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice.
To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/TDF.
That's uncommongoods.com/TDF for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
Attention, everyone. Wayfair's Black Friday preview sale is here early. Right now, get up to 70% off everything home and everything you need for the season ahead. Save on quality furniture for every room in the house. Guest-approved bedding for a season of hosting, top brands and cookware, festive holiday decor for indoors and out, and so much more. Whether you need a new sofa that fits the whole family or a new serving dish that fits your famous sweet potato casserole, Wayfair is the place to go for Black Friday deals on finds to feast. Get festive and get comfortable all season long. Plus, sit back and relax with Wayfair's fast and easy shipping. Everything home comes straight to your home, even the big stuff. And the best part, speedy delivery in time for the holidays. There's no place like home for the holidays, and no place like Wayfair for Black Friday savings. Shop early Black Friday deals right now and save up to 70% off, only at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
I do see a note at the end of the scene from Rebecca, which is very rare that Rebecca what? Would put a...
Oh, yeah. I see this.
Bashir says, is it too bright for you, Dax? Dax? And he looks down, she's asleep. Rebecca wrote, Robbie falls asleep that fast too. So,
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I'm kind of like Dax. I guess I fall asleep pretty quick.
Oh, I wish I was that way.
Well, the next scene we have after Dax falls asleep very quickly is the next day she's in the hospital room.
At the Symbiosis Commission.
Yes, right? The Symbiosis Commission's bot. And Dax is filling in Bashir and Sisko about her exam that she's had, and our doctor, Renhol, comes in, and Renhol's excited to see Dax. She talks about Dax was the only initiate that successfully reapplied after being dropped from the program. And Renhol meets Sisko and remembers that he was Curzon's friend, meets Bashir, and Dax asks if she's got to stay here for treatment. Renhol says, no, Bashir can finish it back at DS9. So it seems like they've solved this problem very quickly. And the doctor says, you know what? I just want to see you tomorrow for a follow-up and lunch. I want to talk to you. So feels like we're, you know, things are good.
We're in the right path.
Yeah.
Yeah. Her isoboramine levels are improving. So yeah, things seem good.
Yeah.
And I think we go back to the Bridge of the Defiant next. And Dax is talking to Sisko and Bashir. She wants to take him sightseeing. And Bashir says, no, you need to rest. Doctor's orders. We do see a little anger pop out again.
Well, because
this moment.
But when she says, I can't sleep in the afternoon, that point, that's where the
anger comes. Just like when Bashir says, you know, lie down, close your eyes, try not to think. And she's heading to the door. You start to see that darkness a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Which pays off in the corridor in the next scene, because she goes out in the corridor. Mm-hmm. The music's starting. She's hearing music. She's having this hallucination again. I think this time two Trill men in uniforms burst through a door. They grab her. She's fighting them. And then she's holding one of them, just about to punch one of those Trill guards or something that she's hallucinating. Yeah. When she hears, Dax, Jadzia. And then it's Bashir. Whoa.
Ooh.
Look at that. That's very exciting.
I was very excited about
this scene.
We're so excited.
Fireworks.
Your excitement made your screen go crazy. So there you go.
But yeah, it's all a hallucination. And she's just about to punch Bashir in the face, which would not be good, because Bashir was very nice. He gave you the bunk. Dax is in a room next. Hospital room, I guess. I keep referring to it as a hospital room, but
it's the Symbiosis Commission.
Yeah. So she's in a room again, getting a checkup. Renhol's there again, says the isoboramine levels are increasing faster than she expected. So maybe that's what's causing the hallucinations. Like, it's too fast.
Right.
She's a little confused too. Dax says the attackers wore Symbiosis Commission uniforms from 100 years ago. So
this
is very confusing.
That's weird.
That makes no sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Renhol does say, well, you know, with 7 lifetimes inside you, things can sometimes get jumbled up.
Right.
So she wants to continue the treatment, see her again tomorrow. Doctor leaves.
Yeah.
And Sisko says that they're analyzing the music. This tune that she keeps hearing and playing, and maybe if they can figure out where the song came from, that could help.
I love that he's trying to help like that. That's really great. Yeah.
Yeah. Very smart. Very smart. Any clues to what's going on? Mm-hmm. And Dax is smart too, because she says, well, let's go see the Guardians. And we've never heard about these Guardians before, I don't think.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
This is a new thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very cool. The Guardians protect the symbionts before they are joined.
But they care for them, basically, right? So they're unjoined Trill who devoted their lives to the care of the symbionts. So they never will be joined in their own lifetime. So a little sad.
Yeah.
Well,
they're like monks almost.
They are. Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe from our perspective, it could feel bittersweet. But for them,
They love
It's
it.
a calling.
They're
It's an
calling.
honor.
Yeah.
Well, is it because in the next scene, you go into the caves, you go down, there's these milky ponds, and then Timor, a guardian, comes in, tests the water. He doesn't even look at them. It was a little, I guess, like a monk might just be in the zone.
Yeah.
When Bashir asks, you know, what are you doing? Can I, he says something like, can I ask you what you're doing? And Timor goes, yes. And then he goes, okay, what are you doing? So funny bit.
Timor doesn't even acknowledge them when he comes in. You notice that?
No,
he just goes
right
to the
right
pool.
By them.
He doesn't even look at them. It's like,
no.
Yeah, same old, same old.
But he's a Timor's funny because he's a little, he's not monk-like like I would have expected.
Right.
He's a little, he's complaining a little. He's like, these guys, you know, if it's not perfect, then they get all cranky.
It sounds like he needs a vacation.
Yeah, he's working
very
hard.
Maybe to get out
Timor.
Of the cave.
Yeah,
because they
asked, grumpy if you lived in a cave,
right? Because they talk about the weather, and he's like, "Oh, well, that's something I haven't even seen in years. Like, he just never gone outside." It's like, what?
Yeah, it's like the blue collar guy that's stuck down, you know, working down in the caves, and he's a little cranky.
That could be a spin-off show. The Reluctant Guardian is what it is. So he doesn't really want to be a guardian. Yeah,
I liked it. I thought it was very
guardian. It's funny. It's definitely very a comedic moment there. Mm-hmm.
But he sees Dax and immediately knows something's up. Something's, you know.
Well, he recognizes Dax too.
Yeah.
He can tell something's off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She says, he asks what's wrong. And she says, well, she's been having hallucinations. And he goes, you mean memories? And he touches her belly. And he says, whoa, things are really out of balance. It's not Dax, so it must be the host, he says. And Sisko says, oh, Jadzia? And he goes, well, it could be any of the hosts.
Right.
Yeah, that was like a bum, bum, bum.
Yeah.
And then he leads you away as if you were a school child. He was like, give me your hand. Let us go to the another classroom. And we're going to
You kind of walk into the cave like kids going off to school.
We're going to recess now. It was very interesting. I don't even know why he did that. I guess it's because he cares for all the symbionts. He's very, he's going to lead you by your hand. You know.
Yeah. So. Back on the bridge of the Defiant, Dax comes back. Says Timor thinks it's one of the previous hosts. So not Jadzia, but she needs to go back and see Timor, the guardian, again tomorrow.
Right.
Everybody keeps saying, come back tomorrow. Nobody's like dealing.
Yeah.
Like, let's take a day to think about this.
Not dissimilar from maybe our healthcare.
Yes, exactly.
Sisko has the good news. The computer has identified the music that you've been humming and playing on the Casio. And Dax is like, can I hear this? He's like, yes, of course. This piece was written by a trill named Duran Balar 86 years ago. They play the piece. And that's when, Bashir asks, does that name sound familiar, Duran Balar? Dax is like, no, I don't think so. Is there anything, an image that
like
I can
a
see
picture
of him?
Or
yeah, a picture of him. And Sisko goes, okay, let me look it up. And now we have this flashback.
There's a man at a desk, an old guy, and then one of these mask guys. I started calling him the Phantom of the Opera. Phantom of the
Good
Opera
call.
Comes in.
Yeah,
and he stabs him in the neck with some silver thingy.
Yeah,
Dax
Not
grabs
good.
The. No, you don't ever get stabbed, especially in the neck. That's
So Phantom of the Opera says, "Look, he left me no choice." Dax says, "Who are you?" Dax actually kind of. Confronts
grabs him,
removes the mask. There's some weird vis effects, like glowing thing that happens. And then we see a face. And now we see Duran.
It's the composer Duran. That she just saw. Yeah,
yes.
Duran.
Yeah.
It's Duran.
And then out of the flashback or out of the hallucination, we're back on the Defiant Bridge and she starts shaking and has a seizure, basically.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Falls down.
I remember doing that.
Yeah. What do you remember? I was curious.
Is that being kind of nervous about doing it and then just thinking, you just got to go all in. You just got to go all in.
Yeah.
Did you research it at all?
Well, you know what? I had a kid in my junior high who had
epilepsy or something.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh,
exactly.
And
epilepsy.
I saw this kid have
a seizure. Yes, in the
middle
class. I just remember thinking, once you see that someone have a seizure because they have epilepsy, And back then, it still had some stigma, like there's something really wrong with you mentally, rather than it's an imbalance in your chemical makeup.
Correct.
But yeah, it was really scary, really scary. And I don't think it's just being a young person watching it that it's scary. It's scary to watch when you're helpless and there's nothing you can do to help the person. Do and you don't understand what it is exactly. I'm sure at the time we didn't know exactly. So, yes, I had that in my head.
When you saw that again, that is what imbibed your performance, right? I mean, you remembered
Yes,
how what he
personal
did, or, yeah,
experience of
personal
watching
experience
it.
of watching it happen. Yeah.
And
It's it.
imagining.
Yeah. It's interesting. I was looking at the original script for this sequence, and it says in here when you first see the photo of the composer, push in on Dax's recognition, and then it says a series of quick images in which each cut is punctuated by a strange jarring sound, a symbiont burrowing its way into an abdominal cavity, a masked figure on the promenade, Dax's face on the defiant bridge, a masked figure in it has all this stuff that I don't remember that. That didn't
They
happen, did
didn't
it?
show that.
It was
No.
described as this sort of stock
Like a montage of
montage,
different things.
montagey things before you come into the room where the guy gets killed and the masked figure. And then it says her hand touches that guy's mask. Suddenly it shatters,
Oh, the
revealing his
mask
face.
shatters. Okay.
Did it shatter?
No,
It
it
felt like
turned.
a
It just
vis
went.
effect.
Yeah, like I said, it was a vis effect. It glowed like really glowy blue white light, and then boom, it went back down to his face, and it
To his
showed.
face, does say that. It's Joran, the composer we saw on the bridge monitor.
And
And then it
then
says, back in real time, Dax's body suddenly tenses, her eyes close, her muscles start to tremble. She's going into some sort of seizure. Yeah. And then what it describes is what we saw. But it does use the word seizure, so that would make sense that, that you would be nervous to do it and try to find a memory to base it on. Yeah.
It's just too overwhelming, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She got
Yeah.
overwhelmed. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like, though, that they used artistic license instead of, how we might think of a mask shattering literally, but that they do the, it's just like an artistic upgrade. What does a
Yeah.
shatter look like when you're in space and it's a sci-fi show
Yeah.
versus if the mask were shattering? And it were just a hallucination on, say, a Murder, She Wrote.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what I
Yeah.
mean?
Yeah. Yeah. We go back into Dax's room. So I guess at the hospital place, and things are getting worse. Rennell asks if Dax has been in the wormhole, and Sisko says, yes, she was. Recently, she was mapping out some of the wormhole, doing some work in there. Doctor says, maybe that's it. But if Dax's isoboramine levels don't come up, they're going to have to remove the symbiont.
Yeah, they're down to 51%.
No.
They're down to 51%. So we've
Yes.
got 11% more before the end of Dax, basically. So
Yeah.
scary proposition.
Not good. And we go down in the symbiont caves. Sisko and Bashir go down to Timor, our grumpy guardian, to ask him for help. But he's very different this time. He's nervous. He says, I didn't mean to imply that I was sure of anything. I don't know what's going on. And Sisko immediately is suspicious. He's like, did someone tell you not to get involved? He doesn't really answer. Sisko wonders if one of Dax's previous hosts had something to do with this composer, Belar. So they go to find out more about the composer. Yeah, Timor's not going to help him. He's nothing he can do.
Something's gonna happen.
We go to the bridge on the Defiant next. Sisko and Bashir are looking up this composer. Bashir says the file's been purged, except for basically birth date and death date of death. There's not anything there. And so they decide to pull up Dax's records, compare. They find some dates align there that he died. The composer died the same day that Dax was put into Kurzon, which is kind of an odd coincidence. They search music academy records in this scene. This is definitely like a big detective scene. They're doing a lot of detective moves in here. looking at the Music Academy records. They find another name with the same last name. They call him, call the guy that has the same last name. It's Jaron Bellar's brother, who's named Yolad. And Yolad says that the official records say his brother was never joined. They say that he killed the doctor who recommended dropping him from the training. But Yared says 6 months before that murder happened, his brother called him and seemed really different, kind of cold and confident and just didn't seem like himself. And his brother told him that he had been joined.
Mm-hmm.
And Yared can't remember the name of the symbiont that they joined him with, but they thank him. And this is where Sisko goes, I think I've got it. Dax had been a host. Dax had a host between Tarius, the test pilot guy, and Curzon.
And Curzon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Curzon.
Yeah.
And the host that was between those two people was Jaron Bellar for 6 months. So that's what Sisko puts together in a really long scene. Like, as I was looking at the transcript and kind of going through it, it's longer than most scenes we do. Like, that they had to have done their homework and memorized these lines, because it was a lot of words.
Long just, day.
Yeah.
I think that's one of the complaints of the writers when they saw the end product, they felt that they kind of veered away from a Dax episode and started being focused. The focus became Bashir and Sisko trying to figure out,
I agree,
this whodunit kind of a thing. And it was like, wait a minute, you give us all this backstory about Trills and it's all about Dax, and all of a sudden Dax is not even talked about, and they're all about, let's go here, let's the talk to so-and-so's story. Brother, and let's, yeah,
totally agree story.
Yeah. That is, so you do agree with that then. Yeah.
Yeah, I really think, like, that anger we saw in the teaser and the opening, mm-hmm, of the show,
expand on that. Give that to us.
Yeah. Keep going.
Let me attack someone at the hospital.
Yeah.
Like him. Like, I'm becoming, yes, him. Yeah. Right. He's taking over.
It exactly. should have been like Jekyll and Hyde. That's the analogy that I was like, this could have been an amazing Jekyll and Hyde episode.
Yeah.
Where she goes, you know, off the rails and they're having to find her and she's murdering people. Who knows? I mean, it could have gone in such a different direction that would have been Dax focused, Jadzia Dax focused. And instead, that's funny. I do agree with the writers there.
Yeah. Yeah, because, and even in this scene, when they're talking to Yolad, his brother, Jaron's brother, he says, my brother had a horrible temper, you know, a really violent kind of temper. And instead of talking about it, show that to us. Show us.
Yes.
Right? So it's a lot of exposition. Yeah,
let Dax be vicious.
Yes.
Yes. Mm,
show more of that.
Because you were so good in those angry scenes. Like, right. It was really.
Give us more of that.
Disarming. Please.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, please.
Probably would have been good if I actually did hit Bashir or choke him to the point that someone had to pull me off of him.
Yep.
Not so I kill anybody.
Right. No, don't kill anyone, but get to the point of almost killing somebody.
I want to, and you stop me.
Yeah. I think there was a whole different path this could have gone down. That would have been really fun for you and
really interesting. Yeah. And you know what? Yeah. Don't you think that maybe they backed themselves into the corner by writing it while we were filming it? There's not a lot of, we can't take it back now.
Right. We've already established that.
It's hard to have perspective if you don't have the whole story done then implement rewrites that are
I do think that's major. Yeah,
yeah.
I do think that is the reason why this episode sort of veers off its path, is because they were so behind that you're right. They rolled themselves into a corner. So I think you called it perfectly.
So now we go back to Dax's room. I'm going to call it the hospital room.
Mm-hmm.
Sisko and Bashir arrive. They know the whole cover up now. You know, the Trills say that only a very rare Trill can be joined. That's why they've got this whole system and... Yeah. You know, they make it seem so special that not all of us Trills can do it. Only a very select few.
One in a thousand is the actual number.
Like that. Yeah.
So, yeah. But Robbie, before Sisko and Bashir enter, we do see Dr. Renhall, and she says the isobormine levels are dropped to 40%.
Oh, that's
44%.
Right.
It's time for, you know, a new host.
Killer.
Extraction. So it's time for the end of Dax, basically. Yes.
She's just a little too.
She's a little too quick to that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I heard it was 40%. And it's at 44, which is not, there's 4% left. But yet she's already jumping the gun. She's like, it's time. It's time. Let's go. Yeah.
Yeah. 15 minutes.
Yeah.
We'll begin transferring the symbiont in 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. Boy, you just barely made it out by the skin of your teeth.
Love Cisco's opening line. Tell Dr. Torvin to get himself a cup of Ractigino.
Oh, that's right.
Needed.
And he was kind of walking in. He was walking in with like a flourish on
he
that.
He was, yeah. And just that line was the best, you know.
Yeah.
He won't be needed. Yeah.
Yeah. But Cisco does say, we know the whole cover up. We get it. You guys are saying that this is rare, but that's not true. Because you learned with Joran that there are more people that the host, you know, stayed. The host held the symbiont for 6 months.
Yeah.
So it wasn't perfect. It wasn't a long term thing.
Yeah. And how about when my symbiont got stolen? We learned when John Glover came on the show, and his character basically held ransom on. I mean, he was going to take it.
Yeah,
he did take it. The symbiont was in him. Yeah.
I had to let them take it though, right? Mm-hmm. And I knew they were going to do something bad. At any rate, we know from the character John Glover played that it isn't that they can't be joined. It's that they should not be joined because they're not mentally fit. That's very different than the Trill not, the host being able to carry the symbiont. Because
they want it in
Trill,
in,
host can carry
the best match. Yeah.
This entire time that Cisco is interrogating or just bringing up all these facts to Dr. Renhall, Dr. Renhall is just playing ignorant. Like, no, I don't know what you're talking about. But when she does finally give in, she says like, okay, well, here's the deal. Basically half of all Trill population is suitable for joining. And then she says, because of that, if that came out that almost everybody can join, now having an actual symbiont in you will end up becoming like, you know, people will be trading or people will be buying
it. Become,
aggression will happen. People will be fighting over trying to get joined and it becomes a commodity. It's no longer that spiritual, you know, exclusive sort of VIP experience that what we thought it was, 1 in 1,000, half of the people. And this type of information released in the public, the Trill homeworld, would cause chaos. So she's just like completely like, I can't let this out.
Cisco basically says like, if you do this, if you let her die, then I'm going to reveal your secret.
Right.
Yeah. He says, I resent having to watch my friend die just so that you can protect your secret.
He goes, that's why you're willing to let Jadzia die. I'm not interested in exposing your secret, doctor. All I care about is Jadzia. I thought that was very prime directive-y. He was like, look, I'm not going to interfere in this.
Yeah, that's
true. I'm going to let this, you know, the right thing to do is to tell everybody, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go with your ruse, your cover up, your whatever, which is wrong.
Exactly.
It's ethically wrong, but he's not going to mess up the prime directive.
It's not his battle to fight either. He just wants to make sure that his friend stays alive and get his science officer and friend back to the station.
Right. Yeah. Renhall responds to that, saying that, well, it's not as simple as that. I mean, the other host, that memory or that energy has to be acknowledged and brought into the fold, basically. And that it may not happen. There might be some rejection. There may be maybe something where Jaron, actually that host, overpowers everything to do with Jadzia so that it's a dangerous thing. And guess what? Cisco says, she can handle it. Let's do this. Let's give her a chance.
He says, I think she can handle it, but she should be the one to decide.
Correct. It's all her choice, like, not our choice. Needs,
and Jadzia is a strong woman. And here also is that shadow self. Joran represents that shadow self of the dark side
that you
need to embrace about yourself. And this is what's caused her so much. She didn't even know it was there.
Exactly.
Didn't know he was there. Mm-hmm. But this dark side is now appearing in her.
Yeah.
And she has to embrace it or it won't be assimilated into her whole being.
Correct.
Yep.
Correct.
Also, this Duran guy represents the magician inside of you. That you need to allow that magician to come through so you can create magic in your own life.
Oh, that's so pretty. I like it.
Yeah. I like it too. We all have these internal family systems, these different parts of ourselves, like magicians and like dark sides. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And like in Buddhism, you're inviting your sorrow, you're inviting your jealousy, your anger, all parts of ourselves that we just really don't like to admit to ourselves they're there, but they're the parts of ourselves that need love. They need love and understanding and acceptance. And then once you do that, like you would for a best friend, and everybody's sitting at the table, all parts of yourself, then you're whole.
Yep. We go down to the symbiont caves where the guardians are, and we see Jadzia entering a pool, all white, reborn.
Oh, can I just say something?
Talk about
it. Was it cold?
No. The crew.
Yeah.
I love my crew. Yeah. They made sure it was warm water.
Oh, yeah.
And it was milky. It was a milk bath. Literally, they bought
milk?
A milk bath solution to put in the water.
Oh, my gosh.
And that our skin would feel
your skin was moisturized soft. At the same time. Yeah,
it was like a spa treatment.
Yeah, it was. It was nice. I was very relaxed after that scene.
I bet. Some nice warm water.
Very sweet.
Well, Jadzia goes into the water, the milk bath.
Yeah.
Lightning kind of happens around her. These little like lightning charges. And then Duran appears from the water.
Yeah.
They hug.
I was nervous though when Duran first came out. I was like, oh my gosh, what's gonna happen? No, but I just loved the way he played it. He was like, did he say you know me? Yeah, you know who I am. And I felt like, oh wow, perfect. Because the way he said that was sort of like, finally, I've been trying to get your attention this whole time that I've been there, and you know who I am. And he was actually content and happy and not angry, you know, for the first time in his life, it seems. So I love that moment for a person who's not an actor. He's a magician. He came in there. He had one line. Sometimes that one line's very hard to do. And then you said, you're a part of
me.
He reached out and nailed it. And you just nestle him in right there. It was great.
Yeah. Nice little hug.
I was back to myself again.
Yeah.
Yeah. He disappears at the end of that scene.
That's right.
That's what the milk bath does to him.
Well, because then he's inside of me. He came out of me, right? So then I'm not burdened by his anger.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And then I accept him. So then I can accept him being a part of me. Mm-hmm. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So
great scene.
You don't see him again because I guess
he's absorbed into. Yeah.
Yeah.
But he does appear in a later episode of Deep Space Nine, but he wasn't available. So they cast somebody else. So,
he was doing magic. Mm-hmm.
He was doing magic.
Magic is important. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This beautiful moment in the Milky Bath takes us to Dax's quarters back on DS9. She's staring out a window. Sisko comes in. Dax says they don't need to check on her all the time. Sisko's been in there. Bashir's been in there 15 minutes ago. Everybody's checking on her. I'm fine. Yeah. I'm fine. She says, I just need some time to sort things out. And he agrees and leaves. And then she goes back to that little Casio keyboard and plays her tune.
I wonder if Jake let me borrow it or if I went and bought one.
I think you just...
It's yours now.
it's mine yours. Now.
Well, you know, Dax always takes, monoliths from
monoliths.
When she goes to.
And I just steal
I'll
it.
Take this Casio keyboard.
It. Yeah, it's hers.
I think Dax is a kleptomaniac. Dax just takes whatever she wants. No one cares.
I think Dax has the best line in the whole episode here, where she says, "I'm glad I did it, because if you want to know who you are, it's important to know who you've been." Mm. And that, to me, was beautifully said.
It is. Mm-hmm. Really good. And Sisko ends that scene with goodnight, old man. And Dax says, Benjamin, I'll see you in the morning.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Lesson, theme, moral of this episode, Robbie McNeil.
My lesson is you need to integrate all the experiences you've had to truly be yourself.
Okay.
I think it's important for people to do that, you know, not deny the things that are sad or the things that you might have some shame about, or like, it's all part of you.
Part of being human.
Accept it.
Yeah.
I wrote, accept and love all parts of you.
Yeah.
I think my lesson is in that final line that Dax says, if you want to know who you are, it's important to know who you've been. Right.
Yeah.
And to accept the dark side and the light side, because we are comprised of both. That's how every human being is.
What is the winner of the Patreon poll theme and moral of this episode, Terry?
Well, the winner was submitted by Anne. Sometimes institutions are willing to go to extreme lengths to cover up the truth.
Oh, that's a different perspective, but I like it.
It is.
I
do too.
Well, that's it, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to our recap and discussion of Equilibrium. Thank you again to Terry for joining us. And for all of our Patreon patrons, please stay tuned for your bonus material and a little bit more Terry. There we go. All right. See you on the next episode. It'll be Second Skin with Terry again. So everyone else, stay tuned.